Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Oxygen Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on?
Man, we got a lot going on today.
Man, Suns news, Cardinals news, D-backs.
Taking two or three.
Championship game tonight.
Oh, I know.
Going to have a first-time national champion in college basketball.
Let's think about it. You got two or three from Boston. You've got Larry Fitzgerald in on the Suns GM interviews. That's fascinating. You've got the national championship game tonight, the double dribble that wasn't called, the foul in the corner three that was called, right?
Mm-hmm.
An over under that, man, whatever you do, bet the under, I guess, for tonight's game after what we saw between these two defensive-minded teams. We got a lot going on, a lot to get into. We thank you for hanging out with us on this Monday afternoon. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Today's top story. Burns and Gambo.
Not only was he there today, as we knew he would be, he was, by all accounts, the first one in the door, according to Ian Rappaport. We're talking about the start of the Cardinals' off-season conditioning program. There was no media availability today, but Josh Rosen, according to Ian Rappaport, was the first one there today in terms of the players reporting for duty, ready to go. The NFL draft, 2.5 weeks away.
Yeah, what feedback I got, he was in great spirits. He was very positive about everything. You couldn't tell a thing that there was any, you know, trade discussions or anything like that. Had a really good positive attitude, worked hard. He was in really good spirits. Again, no media availability, so I'm just getting this from sources and information.
Right.
But that's the stuff that I'm hearing, that the kid was in really good spirits, very, very positive today, was working hard. So, yeah, Rosen was there, like we expected. I mean, we hit this a couple weeks ago, April 8th, and we had actually said that this is the guy that we, you know, we expect that he is going to be there, that he is going to be there. And he was on April 8th. He's there for the first day of voluntary camps. And now we'll just continue to work and see what happens.
Here's Ian Rappaport.
He is there. In the building. The Cardinals do want him in the building. And not only that, Andrew, he was the first in the building for the Arizona Cardinals, which makes sense why there's no social media video. It sounds like he beat whoever was running the team's Instagram account actually to the building. And if you know Josh Rosen, this is really not a surprise. And one of his teammates, former teammates, Marcus Golden, was tweeting at me right after I put this up on Twitter that this is the way Rosen was last year too.
Yeah, that's exactly what Marcus Golden tweeted out in response to Ian Rappaport's tweet this morning. Quote, he was the first in the building as a rookie too. Great guy and player. Exclamation point. That was from Marcus Golden. And by the way, we checked just in the interest of dotting I's and crossing T's. No, Josh Rosen and Marcus Golden do not share an agent. They're represented by different people.
Yeah, I was wondering
But we did have, and not that I expect us to recreate the conversation here, kind of a great conversation about who benefits from getting the word out that Josh Rosen was the first in the building. Because, man, that news came quick this morning, right? That not only was he there, he was the first one there. He beat the Instagram guy. He beat the social media guy for the Cardinals. He was there. Who was it a couple weeks ago suggested, man, not only should Josh Rosen be there, he better be there.
The first one?
He better be there when the janitors open up
Charlie
the building.
Charlie Casserly, I think it was.
Was it Casserly?
I think it was Charlie Casserly who said that he should be the first one there and that he should beat the janitor of the building. I do believe it was Charlie Casserly.
You might be right.
That.
Well, he must have taken that to heart because he was there. This might be an obvious question, but who does it benefit to make sure the whole world knows that Josh Rosen was the first guy in the
door? I think to get it out there in case he's traded, let these other teams know that Rosen was, you know, he was there, he was ready to work. I mean, he's got a positive attitude. He's not whining about the trade rumors. He didn't show up because he's disgusted. And no, he showed up ready to work. He's a leader. You know, I mean, that's the things. And I'll try to get as much information as I can, you know, about this. But look, I think it's good for him in case he stays to show, listen, none of this stuff bothers me. I can handle it. I'm a big boy, you know, because these other guys, man, there's a lot of guys just trying to make the damn team, the mad damn roster. He's got $10 million in the bank. You know, nobody's worried about him. Nobody's feeling sorry for Josh Rosen. Got $10 million in the bank already. He's going to make a lot of money in his career. They don't want to see him get upset because he's involved in some trade rumors. You're here, you know, be a leader. Now, listen, these things are these voluntary workouts are a little different. Like, you don't, coaches cannot be on the field with players.
Right.
Strength and conditioning guys can. Your strength and conditioning coach can be on the field with you. Your regular coaches cannot be on the field with you. They'll get you. You'll go on the field with the strength and conditioning coaches. You'll do some weight room stuff. You'll be in the weight room. You'll do some films. Now, when you're in film session, that's when the coaches could be with you. That's when they can work with you. They could talk with you. They could go over things. Is during the film session part of it. It has to be inside, not outside.
There was a good story on NFL.com today about sort of the rules involved with these off-season workouts. Teams can meet with players 4 hours maximum per day. They're not permitted any more than that. As you mentioned a second ago, only strength coaches are permitted on the field, no actual coaches. The workouts are only 90 minutes. No footballs are even allowed on the field while they're working out. So these are, at best, glorified workouts. And you can see why, and this was pointed out by Ian Rappaport in his story about Josh Rosen being the first to report. He points out, look, a guy like Duke Johnson in Cleveland, he didn't report because his situation is kind of iffy in Cleveland. He's a guy who's skipping or has skipped offseason workouts in the past, I should say, because of a dicey situation. Here's Charlie Casserly when he suggested a month ago that Josh Rosen needs to be the first guy in the building.
Josh Rosen, when you go to your new team, you find out what time the janitor comes in. Then you come in, you open the place up. Next thing you do, you go find those offensive linemen, and you take them all out to dinner every week. You got to connect with your teammates better. You got to be the hardest worker in the building if you're the quarterback. Follow the game plan. Don't force balls.
Right.
If you do that, you're better than all these quarterbacks in this year's draft. You are.
Right.
This guy should be the first pick in the draft.
Right
this
now.
Year and last year. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's like Dick Vitale without the personality. I've decided that's who Charlie Casserly is.
Yeah.
He's like Dick Vitale, but just with a one or a two on the personality scale, right?
Yeah.
I'll yell and I do, you know, and he shouts and he waves his arms and he screams things, but he just doesn't have the same kind of lovability factor of a Dick Vitale, right? He's just screaming. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah,
but
I'm getting other feedback now too. There's professional. Rosen's very professional. Didn't take anything
good
to heart. Wasn't bitter about anything. Wasn't, again, no media availability. So, just talking with a bunch of people that were there. Just, you know, all indications are that he was professional. That he was working hard. That you couldn't tell that there was anything bothering him. He's not bitter about anything. So I think that's a good sign.
Well, it's a good sign on a couple levels. Number one, Josh Rosen might very well be your starting quarterback next year, so you hope there's no lingering bitterness or resentment or anything like that, because that would obviously be counterproductive. That's main reason number one why I'm happy to hear that he was happy to show up for work. Reason number two is, let's be honest, with the draft still 2.5 weeks away, there is a certain amount of leverage that needs to be maintained here if you're the Arizona Cardinals, and a happy Josh Rosen showing up for work ready to go on a Monday afternoon is not only a good look for him and whatever team that wants to acquire him, but a good look for the Arizona Cardinals is to say, yeah, no problems here.
Everything's good. Just keeps everybody guessing. Hey, if he didn't show up today, be rampant speculation he was going to be, just showed up, did what he had to do. So now the game continues.
Oh, the game.
The game continues.
The game is afoot. Albert Breer, NFL insider from the MMQB, was on Bickley and Marotta today. Gave Josh Rosen a lot of credit for how he's handled this.
Well, the whole idea that I'm not going to feed into what everybody thinks of me. I'm going to be a good soldier. I'm going to handle this above board. And I'm going to just go into this 17 days until the draft and act as if I'm here. And if I'm not, I'll deal with it then. I think it's pretty good maturity for a kid his age. And again, I think, you know, if you're going to, go through everything that was said about him last year. And look, you know, I'd heard a lot of those things and I reported on him too over the last couple of years. You got to give him credit for the way he's handling this, because, you know, we haven't heard peep out of him over the last couple of months. And, you know, he's really handled this, I think, the way that you would draw it up if you were looking, you know, for the right way to handle a situation
like
that.
It's so funny, for all the baggage that he brought in with him to this job, right? All the reports, all of the he's this, he's that, he's that kind of teammate, he's this kind of. Ever since he's walked in these doors, if you exclude how he's played on the field, which was partially his fault and partially not his fault, I don't think Josh Rosen's done anything wrong since he's been here. I don't think Josh Rosen has done anything that I don't like since he's been here. He's handled himself very, very well.
Josh, listen to me and write this down. Okay. Your butt's in trouble.
I, you know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Sure, the kid's been fine. I mean, listen, like if he does get traded, there's no ill will. There's no dislike for him. I hope he has a good career. I'm not rooting against him. Listen, circumstances may have allowed the Arizona Cardinals to draft a quarterback that's better suited for the system that they're going to run with Cliff Kingsbury. That's about it. I'm sure the Cardinals still believe in Josh Rosen. They drafted him with a first-round pick last year. You're not going to, you know, necessarily give up on the guy after 1 year unless some unusual circumstances come up. But you're exactly right. I mean, there were some knocks on him coming out of UCLA and everything, but he was a professional while he was here. He worked hard. He was a classy kid. He's, you know, and he cares about football. And he cares about other things, too. I mean, it's not, you know, football's a big part of his life, but he's involved with other stuff. I agree. I mean, he's been a professional. And again, all indications that I'm getting it today is that he came to work. He was very professional. He was in great spirits. And you couldn't tell that there was anything wrong with all of these trade rumors.
This week, we are qualifying you for Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience in Nashville. You text the word clock to 620-620. And then listen, every day this week, 7:45, 12:45, and 4:45. You're listening for your name. You're going to have 10 minutes to call and claim your official Cardinals draft hat and a qualifying spot for the grand prize trip to Nashville during the NFL draft. Once again, text the word clock to 620-620. You'll have time to get in on the 4:45 name reveal. Listen all this week for the Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience is presented by Cherish. Cherish 100% all-natural cherry juice. The Suns are close to making a new front office hire. We had a feeling this was coming. Who is Jeff Bauer, and what does his past tell us about what to expect for the Suns' future? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The sexy headline is that, for whatever reason, Larry Fitzgerald was in the room.
Right.
The nuts and bolts of it is that it would appear the Phoenix Suns are on the verge of naming a experienced front office veteran to help guide this organization through what's going to be a couple of very critical off seasons coming up. I mean, there's no doubt the Fitz news is what people are like. What? Larry Fitzgerald was in the room for this?
Yeah. You know, I mean, there is a unique relationship between Larry Fitzgerald and Robert Sarver. I mean, there is. I mean, these guys have vacationed together. Yeah. They have, I think Robert's like a mentor to Fitz from a business standpoint and finances and
full disclosure,
things like that.
When that Suns Arena deal was going down, Fitz was a guest on this show to talk about the benefits of the arena renovation for the Phoenix Suns.
They have a unique friendship. I mean, they are friends. So they are friends. And I think that Larry Fitzgerald looks at Robert Sarver and sees a very successful guy and Larry wants to be in business and he wants to learn. So he's learning from a guy that's been very successful. So, that's all there is to it. There is really nothing more to it. We could, you know, whether he's in the room or not like that, he's not making decisions. I mean, I think it's just more of a mentorship. I'm going to bring you in and show you how we do things. And you can see from the business side of things how, guys get interviewed for jobs and questions that are asked and stuff like that, because Larry's interested in all of that. And Robert allows him that opportunity to learn the business.
And we'll flesh that out in greater detail later. I mean, it is unusual to say the least, but at the same time, kind of want to focus more on the nuts and bolts of this. It would appear that Jeff Bowers is going to be an addition to the Phoenix Suns front office. In what capacity? What are you hearing about this?
Yeah, I have every expectation that Jeff Bowers is going to be hired as a senior advisor for the Phoenix Suns, not as the general manager. But I think the general manager role will remain James Jones's role and that he will have the decisions on the rosters and the coaches and things like that. But they're bringing in an experienced guy who has been a GM and been in this league. And I spoke with a lot of different people outside of the organization about him today. A lot of different people. Now, the hiring is not finalized. Nothing is done yet. But I expect that it will be. But I've heard that this is an ideal job for him, that he's a nuts and bolts guy, that it'd be a perfect fit, that he's really good with the salary cap and all of those things. He's very good with stuff like that. He's very organized. He's a very organized guy. So I got feedback from different people in different organizations about Jeff Bowers. Now, they're not hiring a general manager. They're basically going to leave this with James Jones. They probably feel like James is going to be a good GM, that he's working his way up the ladder, but they want somebody to oversee it, somebody that can help him along the way and guide him, that he can go to with questions and that they can work together when it comes to salary caps and trades and things like that. And this is a guy that's very good at that. That's the feedback I got. Now, we could look at the deals he made when he was with New Orleans and Detroit, and we could question some of the ones we like and don't like.
Yeah, and you sent a very detailed email to the rest of us on the show today, kind of going through some of those deals, and some of them are eyebrow raising in both good and bad ways.
You know, I talked to one NBA executive, and I said, what about, you know, he drafted Chris Paul fourth overall. He goes, yeah, most people like Chris Paul number one in that draft. So that's like, that's not
that big of a deal, right?
Yeah, he drafted him fourth overall. You know, and there were teams that had Chris Paul number one.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with a team that had Chris Paul rated number one, and he got him at number four overall. The Blake Griffin trade, he was a part of that. But you got to remember this, too. Stan Van Gundy was the president and the coach. So Bowers was really the second guy, not the first guy in Detroit. It was more Stan Van Gundy than it was Jeff Bowers.
And I'm glad you said that, because doesn't that kind of sound like that's what the arrangement is going to be here?
Yes,
as
it
well?
Is. Well, let's listen. You want to call it like it is? There wasn't a team in the league that would hire him as the general manager. Okay, if we want to be serious here, there's not a team in the league that would hire this guy to be a general manager right now. What the Suns are doing is they're hiring a guy who has a lot of experience. And again, I spoke with several NBA executives today who all had very good things to say about Jeff Bowers. Very, very good things to say about his knowledge of the league, his understanding of the cap and the system and how everything works. Nobody had a bad word to say about him. Mm-hmm. In the role that he's going to be in, they all think he'd be a perfect fit for that role. Now, you could question whether they should have went after a different GM. Should they have hired Dave Griffin? I believe that they spoke with Dave Griffin back in February, not an interview, but there was a conversation a couple of months ago between the Suns and David Griffin. But it was not an interview. It was just a feeling out process, that type of thing. So we could debate that, and that's a fair debate. Should they have gone after an experienced general manager? Instead, they're going to hire a guy to be an advisor who has a lot of experience, has been a general manager, and that they think can help guide James, because there is a lot of belief in James Jones inside that organization.
Inside that organization, yeah. There is. I'm laughing over here because you just said we can debate whether they should have gone down this way or another, and I was thinking about a line that you made famous a couple of weeks ago when you said, there is no debate here.
Yeah.
Remember when you got all, what was that you were so upset about? You were so upset about, what was it? There is no debate here. It was, what was Gambo insisting there was no, it was about whether Devin Booker should have been left, brought back into the game to go for the 60 points.
Yes. This is not debatable to me.
There it is. This is not
You're a good memory, man. I would have never remembered that.
On the question...
The Jazz game, right?
The Jazz game, right.
Yeah, okay. I would have never remembered
on that. On the question of whether the Suns should bring in an experienced general manager to run this organization, I'm going to borrow a line from you, my friend. This is not debatable here. They need to bring in an experienced general manager and hand him the reins and let him do his thing.
I mean, honestly, it's kind of a joke to me.
I'm going to let you speak for me. Everything you said 2 weeks ago, just re-rack it, Joel. Yeah.
This is
just
stupid. That was stupid.
Just play it.
The whole thing was stupid.
Look, okay, he's got the experience. He's got the resume. He's got the credibility. But don't you think in many regards, this is all about, boy, we really like this James Jones thing. Let's just keep this James. We need to bring in somebody to kind of guide James through this.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
So then why not just hire somebody who's around the league? Goes, oh, yeah, that guy's a great general manager.
Because then they lose James. They don't want to lose James.
Okay.
There is a belief in there that James Jones is really good with the players, not too far removed. Perception of him is very good in the league. He's very well liked. He's very well respected. And they don't want to lose him. I just don't want to lose him. And if they had hired a general manager, then he may have went somewhere else and not stayed. So I think that's what it is. They needed to hire somebody with experience. They did.
And they did.
Well, they are going, if they go with Bowers, which I expect that they will, they're going to hire somebody with experience. I understand your point, and it's a fair one. Should they have just hired a general manager that could run this whole thing? Because I don't think that Bowers is going to be the guy that's putting the roster together. I think he's going to be a voice in the room, a guy that oversees a lot of different things and just lends a hand and advice to the people that are making the decisions. Look, and he'll have a part of that, of course.
Sure, I'm not trying to be anti-James Jones here either. For an organization that seemingly unintentionally prides itself on doing things unconventionally,
yes.
See Lon Babby, see, you know, all of the crazy decisions they've made over the last 8 or 9 years. Doesn't this feel like another one of those? I mean, what exactly is? I understand the appeal that James Jones has to the players, but what's wrong with doing the conventional here? The conventional is to go hire a general manager, give him autonomy, and let him run this organization,
right.
Figure out how to get out of this hole you're in. And it's still this...
That's what probably would have happened in most organizations.
Right, and instead it's this unconventional, no, we really like James, so let's figure out a way to make this James arrangement work even better. Let's go hire a guy that nobody would hire to be their actual general manager, but seems
not
to have
right
a
now.
Good feel behind the scenes of how an NBA franchise should... It just feels like more... of the same when it comes to the unconventionalness, if you will, of the Phoenix Suns. That's the last thing I wanted.
Listen, don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the we're going to go out and get a general manager, but the feeling is they don't want to lose the guy that they have.
Yeah.
The guy that they have, they've graded him well. They believe he's done a good job. They think he knows what he's doing, but they want to make sure, you know, that they've got somebody to oversee everything to make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and all of that stuff with experience. So they're going to bring in a guy that's been a general manager, been in the league for a long time. He's well-liked. He's well-respected. And he can handle a lot of stuff and just be more of a right-hand guy to James Jones.
That's good information right there. We're 10 games into the season, and Torrey Lovello thinks he's getting some answers to the biggest questions he had about his baseball team. Well, is he? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
And Sarah Cazella is standing by with today's Twitter poll question of the day. What we need to know on this very busy Monday afternoon.
Oh, yes.
Got a lot cooking today.
Yes, indeed we do. We'll start with the earliest news of the day. Josh Rosen making his appearance at Cardinals offseason workout. So how do you perceive his appearance at Cards HQ this morning? Right now, we've got 63% who say his appearance means nothing either way. 20% say it leaves the door open for him to be the starter for the Cardinals. And 17% say the Cardinals are just trying to boost his trade value.
We'll talk about his trade value coming up in a little bit. Peter King, in his Football Morning in America column today, wrote extensively about what he believes to be the football value of Josh Rosen.
Yes.
You know, with a lot of interesting speculation, kind of narrowed it down, in his mind at least, to a couple of teams. All right, good poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo is where that's located.
And the first pitch of the inning is swung on and lifted to right. He hit it well. Back on it goes Jones at the wall out there, and he leaps, and it's gone. A home run for Moreland just over the outstretched glove of Jones at the fence. And the Red Sox have the first run of this ballgame to take a 1-0 lead.
Really about the only bad moment for the Arizona Diamondbacks this weekend against the Red Sox. Other than that, it was pretty close to perfect in taking 2 of 3 from the defending World Series
champs. It was. And, you know, after that first series against the Dodgers, it was a lot of doom and gloom. The way they played, the amount of home runs they gave up, the amount of walks that they had, how bad the pitching was. And, you know, it's obviously it wasn't a good series, and you judge it for what it was, but you say, listen, you can't really judge a team on one series. I mean, I was looking at Paul Goldschmidt is batting 200. Batting 200, Paul Goldschmidt. He's won for his last, like, 20-something, one hit in his last, like, 20 at-bats.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Goldschmidt. So, when he hit the 3-home runs, oh, my God, Paul Goldschmidt. Listen, he's going to put up his numbers. He's a good player, but he's going to go into slumps, too. That was a bad start to the season. Come back, you win 2 out of 3 against the Padres. Now you're playing the defending world champs. They're reeling and not playing good baseball. You take 2 out of 3 from them. And, you know, listen, yesterday, I think Torrey said this, we prepare really well. And when their starting pitcher went out after three innings and had to go through the bullpen for like six more innings.
It was a bullpen game. Yeah,
it was a bullpen game. They weren't prepared for it. They didn't hit. They had three hits the entire game. They couldn't score any runs. They were prepared for a starting pitcher. And when the bullpen came in so early, I think that they were just thrown off a little bit by it, and the offense wasn't able to give them anything
yesterday.
I think
Gerard Dyson was the only Diamondbacks position player to have more than one at-bat against the same pitcher. I think he was the only one. So every guy up and down the Diamondbacks lineup faced a different Red Sox pitcher every time he was up to bat.
Right.
Nobody saw the same guy twice except for Gerard Dyson, who was yesterday's leadoff batter. Troy Lovello, after the game, after the series, they're 10 games in, 5-5 on the year. Lovello, I had some questions, but I think I'm getting answers.
We were walking in the system this season a little with a few unknowns. I say that because I felt that way myself. And over these 10 days, I had a lot of questions answered because of this team's heart, hustle, their toughness. And I think the fact that we took 2 out of 3 against this team, it should continue to tell us that we're prepared and ready to do things in a very, very special way. So, yeah, I'm very satisfied with it. But like I said, you get a little greedy. And when you got a team like this on the ropes, you want to beat them and bury them, but unfortunately we couldn't do it.
And it's cliche, but a tip of the cap to Merrill Kelly, who
was fantastic.
Went through that lineup 3 times yesterday.
Fastball, changeup, fastball, changeup, fastball. I was amazing. The changeup was great. He had them guessing wrong all the time. The fastball was clicking up around 93, throwing the changeup at a bunch of different speeds. And watching that game, I was really impressed with him. Gave up the home run to Moreland leading off the 7th. The only mistake he made. It's tough luck. I mean, he should have got a win. Didn't walk a batter.
Yep.
Tremendous control. Struck out 9. Only gave up the 4 hits. He was fantastic. They take the 2 out of 3, but there's some issues now. Like Alex Avila is on the injured list. He's got a quad injury too now. So he's on the injured list. They brought up Tim LaCastro from AAA, and he's going to be here for a little bit. I mean, he'll be here for with Souza out. You know, they love having another outfield option with the Souza injury. Now, what they could do, and I expect them to do this, is take a bullpen guy away and add somebody else from the 40-man roster. And why I say 40-man roster is because of the speculation. Can they bring back Yasmani Tomas? I highly doubt that they'll bring back Yasmani Tomas. But I do think they'll bring in an everyday position player, maybe a Domingo Leyva, somebody like that. I don't think it's going to be a third catcher. I don't think it's going to be a third
catcher. So no Caleb Joseph.
I don't think so. I'm not 100% sure, but I do think they'll bring up a position player. Could send Duplantier down to make sure he gets work so he's not stuck pinching once every 5th day.
Right.
So to make sure Duplantier gets some work because he's a big part of their future. So what I expect is LaCastro to stay for a little while as insurance for an outfielder. I think they're going to take a pitcher and send a pitcher down. Could be Duplantier. And then I think they'll add somebody from the 40-man roster, you know, to be a position player that can help them.
The guy, he's out of options. Matt Cook has just been brutal. Far for the Diamondbacks.
And it could be Matt Cook, too. I don't know who he's going to be.
But he's out of options. They can't send him down without exposing him. So, Duplantier obviously has quite
a
few options left.
Makes a lot of sense to send him down.
Look, Troy Lovello's going big picture, saying a lot of his questions had answers. Here's kind of the trends of the Diamondbacks over the weekend.
Okay.
Number one, first turn through the starting rotation. Arizona starters had an ERA of 9. Had allowed 9 home runs in 24 innings. The second time through the rotation, Arizona starters, 2.90 ERA, only 3 home runs allowed in 31 innings. Everybody's second start was much better the second time through the rotation. Takeaway number 2. Saturday's game, okay, you got Carson Kelly. We'll talk about him in a second. Obviously, yesterday was a struggle offensively. After Friday's game, the one you went to, the Diamondbacks had scored 56 runs and hit 19 home runs. Those were both a team record after 8 games. Now, things got a little slow on Saturday and, of course, yesterday, but offensively with the explosion they put out there on Friday night. But the big takeaway that a lot of Diamondback fans are talking about, and since you brought up Avila, Carson Kelly. 4 for 13 so far this year. 3 RBI on Saturday night,
big
including
hit.
The walk-off hit against the Red Sox in the 9th. Should he be the everyday guy back
the
there?
The plan is to bring him along, because people are asking me that now. The plan is to bring him along slowly to where he will be get the bulk of the catching. That's how highly they think of him. Very highly. But they don't want to throw him into the fire right away. He's never had extended at-bats. He was behind Yadier Molina. It's not like they want to throw him out there and say, okay, kid, go play in 150 games right now. I mean, it's not what they want to do. So they're going to bring him along slowly, but you're going to see him get more increased time. He's batting, you know, four for 13.
Yeah.
It's like a three-something average.
Yeah.
So, and I was looking at the numbers before, because it's the one thing that stood out to me is just how well he has played. And that's a good sign. But yes, the plan is that Carson Kelly will get the bulk of the catching at some point. It could be in the second half of this year, or it could be even next year. But they do view him as a number one catcher, where the trend is really going away from the everyday catcher, and more trends are to have two or three catchers and defensive-minded catchers instead of offensive production. There's still the ability. The Yankees have Gary Sanchez. He had three home runs yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
In one game, he had three home runs. There are still some catchers that could be everyday guys. Carson Kelly is going to be moved into that role to be more of an everyday catcher and less of a utility or platoon guy at that spot.
With Avila on the DL, if they don't call up a third catcher, and you're making it sound like they don't, I'll be really curious to see how the Diamondbacks, for lack of a better word, function with just two catchers, because we're so accustomed to seeing
Kelly
them with
it
three.
It gives Kelly more opportunities.
Because that's going to give Kelly a lot of opportunities, and if he makes the most of those opportunities, just like Christian Walker was doing over at first, If Carson Kelly keeps producing in the opportunities he's getting, he's going to get more opportunities, whether it's time to do it or not. It's going to happen.
Here's why. Avila's not going to be – this is not a bad quad injury. He's not going to be gone for a long period of time.
Right.
To bring up another catcher who hasn't really worked with this starting pitching staff a whole lot and try to get that guy adjusted to catching Zach Greinke or Luke Weaver or Zach Godley, not enough time. It's not like Avila's going to be out for a few months and, okay, we could work with this guy and work with him and work with him. Avila's going to be back in no time. So there's really, to me, no need to bring up another catcher, which is why I think they'll go a different way.
Real quick, early bullpen issues. Yoshi Hirano, 3 runs allowed in 3 innings. He's faced 19 batters so far this year. 10 have reached. Chafin has faced 14 batters so far this year. Half of those have reached via a base hit or walk as well.
Not worried about Hirano. If you remember the Dodger game, he gave up an infield single, a floater over the first base line by A.J. Pollock. I mean, his defense let him down. I mean, I'm not really worried about Hirano. The Chafin thing is interesting because, you know, that's 14 at-bats and 7 guys reach base. I still think that Hirano will be fine. Just a rough start to the season for him.
Tomorrow is Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We are giving you the chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the D-backs take on the Padres on Saturday, and the first 20,000 fans will receive an Archie Bradley bobble gnome. Listen at 7:15, 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15. Tomorrow to win those tickets. Certainly not the splashiest of moves from the Arizona Cardinals, but what they did today certainly could qualify as one of the most underrated signings of the offseason, no doubt. And we'll talk about that coming up here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. A guy that I can't speak for Gambo on this one, I think he feels the same way about it, that I was hoping all along was going to come back to the Arizona Cardinals, did make it official and come back to the Arizona Cardinals today, and that was Rodney Gunter.
I'm excited about that. He's a good player.
Yep.
He's a good player. I was a little worried. He had a visit with Green Bay. The Packers were interested, but the Cardinals ended up getting him on a good deal, less than $2 million with incentives. So they bring back Gunter, and the deal is, yeah, he visited with Green Bay. The Packers had some interest in him, but the market wasn't paying him what he thought he was worth. And that's where, you know, the Cardinals were able to land him. And they let guys go out, test the market, see what you can get. You know, they were interested in Marcus Golden. They were interested in a bunch of their players. But if the market pays them more than what the Cardinals want to pay him, they lose the guy. Gunter was a little bit of interest from the Green Bay Packers, but in the end, they didn't give him a whole lot of money. I believe it's less than $2 million with incentives to get Rodney Gunter back. That's a steal. He's a good football player. They got him for a steal.
Yeah, I mean, I can only assume that he, that he overvalued what he might have been worth out there on the market, that he probably thought, like a lot of people did, that he might actually be able to cash in for a nice payday. And instead, the Cardinals get him on this one-year deal, which is essentially kind of a prove-it deal. And it really, I think in some ways, brings closure now, at least for now, to what their starting defensive line should look like, right? Between Corey Peters, between Gunter, and then Derek Darius Filon. I don't know what they're going to do in the draft. I don't know if they're going to get Quinnen Williams, if they're going to move down to four, or whatever the case may be. But as it stands right now, I think your defensive line end to end is fine. It took a while, but I think it's kind of finally set with the other guys rotating in and out as you need for depth. Your three starters are now mostly set for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that was a good signing. They brought in some other players too, you know, but more just healthy bodies. They signed a couple of guys that were, you know, in that AAF, the Alliance Football League or whatever you want to call it.
Say it with such disgust.
AAF.
Was it just me or did Gambo say the AAF with a certain measure of just disgust in his voice?
Like he's been personally grudged against them or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't get those 3 hours back that I watched that one game.
Oh, we feel awful for the 3 hours you missed.
Yes.
Meanwhile, thousands of people have lost their jobs, but I'm so sorry about your 3 hours.
Yeah. I don't get that back.
You give it to him, Sarah.
Time is money.
To him.
Time is money.
Hey, you poor people who had to pay for your own plane tickets home after playing in a league that failed after 8 games. Poor Gambo sacrificed 3 hours of his time on a Sunday afternoon.
At least I only watched the one game. Some of you guys watched more than one. Offensive lineman Andrew Lauderdale and Jeremy Potassi from the Alliance of American Football. Just healthy bodies,
yeah,
from what I've heard. Just bringing in a couple of guys that, you know, the Lauderdale guy played on the Arizona Hotshots. He had spent time on a practice squad for the 49ers and the Bills. The Potassi played with the Salt Lake Stallions, played in 12 games in the NFL with Tennessee. He was a third-round pick. So just getting a couple of healthy bodies out there, more for depth in case of any injuries or anything like that.
Rodney Gunter had a career-best 70.1 defensive grade last year. He played
in a career high. I'm surprised there wasn't any real interest in him.
I am too.
Again, what I'm hearing is like only the Packers. He had a visit with the Packers. They had some interest in him, but I'm surprised that there wasn't much interest in him. He's a good football player.
He is. He must have been asking for the moon and the stars and everything in between.
They all do in the beginning.
Yeah, but you would have thought after time that he would have backed off his expectation. I don't know.
He did.
I don't even want to even pretend to know what happened behind the scenes in these negotiations, but I am surprised he's back in on just a one-year deal. But again, nose tackle Corey Peters, Darius Filon, Robert Kimdichie, when he comes back, this round out what you would think is their starting defensive line. Meanwhile, Ian Rappaport and the news of the day today, of course, and we don't have any, as we say in the radio business, sound to play for you. Josh Rosen and anybody from the Cardinals today, not made available to the media today. From what we understand, there'll be a media availability tomorrow with the first day of off-season workouts. But Josh Rosen not only reported, he was, according to Rappaport, the first among the Cardinal players to report today. As far as his trade status goes, here's what Ian said about that today.
From what I'm told, the Cardinals really have not engaged anyone in trade talks. There are some teams that have reached out, no doubt about that, especially as the media reports about Kyler Murray keep going. But they haven't really engaged at all. They made no moves to trade him. So his status remains unchanged. So, of course, he's on the team and he's in the building.
Peter King this morning in his Football Morning in America. Teams that he think are the most likely to make a push for Josh Rosen in this order. He's got Washington listed as number one. Picks in the top 100 include 15, 46, 76, and 96. He believes Washington will try to hold out and give up the 76th overall pick and that the Cardinals will want the 46th overall pick. So a third rounder versus a second rounder in that one.
Give me that again.
Okay, Peter King.
Yes.
They have the Washington Redskins
right
at 15, 46, 76, and 96.
Okay.
Quote, I think Washington could try to hold out and pay Arizona the 76th overall pick instead of the 46th pick.
Wow. That's where you get into the, okay, forget it, we're going to keep him.
Possibly.
I mean, it's a third
likely
round. That's a third round pick.
Yeah, likely.
That's a third round pick?
I mean, unless you're just selling him for pennies on the dollar. He lists Washington.
Okay, is that pennies on the dollar?
A third round pick is, in my money, in my mind, that's pennies on the dollar.
Is that going to Potter?
Yeah, that's going to Potter.
That's 50 cents on the dollar?
That's the old man who pulls his money out of the Bailey Building Savings and Loan and goes across the street and gets pennies on the dollar. Yeah. No, just leave your money with George Bailey. It'll be fine. Yeah, the 96th overall pick? Is that what they
said? There's got to be a team.
76th. 76th overall pick.
All right, but it's still, that's a middle of the third round pick.
Yeah, I just...
Middle of the third round. They see, at that point, they're better off. And this is tough to deal with because it's a really bad situation to bring both guys to camp if they go that route. And we're always going to specify this. If they go that route, it's bad to bring both guys to camp. But they could hold out and try for the whole Bradford scenario. We're going to wait and we're going to see what quarterback gets hurt in training camp or after the first game or the second game that needs a quarterback.
Peter King has the New York Giants listed as the second most likely destination in his opinion. He writes that it's unlikely that Dave Gettleman will give up the 37th pick for Josh Rosen, which is their early second round pick.
So he's third rounder too.
Their next pick after that isn't until 95.
Fourth round.
Right. And Peter King says there's no way the Cardinals are going to do that. So what he suggests the Giants might do is take the 17th pick in the draft and try to spin that into a second and a third round pick that you could then give the Arizona Cardinals for Josh Rosen. That if Gettleman could get creative, take the 17th pick overall in the draft, trade it to somebody for a second and a third, then use that second and a third to go get Josh Rosen, that maybe that's what they would
do. I don't believe this. People have talked about this. What if the Cardinals can't get exactly what they want for Rosen? Would they not take Murray? To me, it doesn't make sense. Am I going to not take Kyler Murray because of the difference between a second-round pick and a third-round pick for Rosen? The answer is no. The answer is no. I am not. If I fall in love with Kyler Murray, I am not going to sit there and say, well, you know what? I can't get what I want for Rosen, so I'm not taking Murray. I'm just going to keep Rosen. That makes no sense.
My friend, you and I are in agreement on that.
That
topic.
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
Listen,
if you love Kyler Murray,
if you love him, you can't be like, yeah.
I don't care that you can't get what you want for Josh Rosen. You don't but not make the deal.
There has been media people and fans that
yep.
Listen. If you can't get what you want for Rosen, then just keep him. Why? What if you love Murray more? I'm not going to take Murray. Why? Because I couldn't get a third. I couldn't get a second
Doesn't
round for Rose,
sense.
And I could only get a third rounder.
It's not a mock draft. He makes that very clear. But one prominent NFL writer is sharing what he thinks the Cardinals should do with the number one pick. Does it differ from what everybody else says? You'll hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show.